You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. Boy, do I feel like a treasure today. This is Sita Biggie. I'm the host of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7. And our show, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, is heard all over God's magnificent planet.
That's right. On 1510wbc.com, you can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, we archive the shows there as well. You can hit the on demand and pick any Monday from 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 2. You see it under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Of course, we share it on all of our social media, which is Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And our website, which is SitaMediaInc.com. And so we share pictures and we share little bios and information. And, of course, all of the shows are downloadable from all of those spots.
That's right. And for our listeners who are tuning in for the first time to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, on Mondays, Ellen O'Neill and myself and our good friend Allie, we sit here. And this studio has become part of our life, part of our living room. And I must say that Ellen is the co-host with a capital C, and she's a friend with a big fat F. She looks out for this show and for me, and she gives me time to spread my wings and book our guests for a show and make sure we have our sponsors here ready to sponsor quality shows on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And we give people an opportunity here to speak, to become an advocate on whatever they want to talk about, whether it's clean air, water, sunshine, like we had the clean water folks on last week. And we try to have a level-headed voice, right? A voice where we can say to people, hey, you want to come on a show? You can come, but freedom of speech comes with a responsibility.
That's right.
And I just wanted for 30 seconds, the three of us here, we're so close now we could read each other's thoughts. And Ali, I'm going to start off with you. 30 seconds, how you felt about this weekend with all this violence here in our country and watching what happened to this young man, Charlie Kirk.
It's absolutely abhorrent. Anyone dying is not going to make a change in other people's thoughts and that sort of thing. It serves really no purpose except to just stir everything up.
Stir the pot.
Yes, yes.
And Al, you had some things to say about that as well. Of course, you're out in the public a lot and people love you for performing. But I know you've had conversations with people as well as to what happened.
Yeah, I grew up in an area, again, that there was always a lot of violence. So gun violence has been a part of my life since I was 5 or 6 years old. So with all of the things that have gone on, The thing I want to tell everyone is that there is no right or wrong in all of this in saying anything about Charlie Kirk at this point. Bottom line is that violence is wrong. It's never the right way to handle things, ever.
That's right. And so that's the stand we're taking on our show.
And I want to throw out my other big saying is always when emotions are high, intelligence is super low. So we all have to understand, too, that this is a very emotionally charged event that happened in our world, and when people's emotions are this high, intelligence is going to, logic is not necessarily going to play a part,
right?
In correcting.
And so, for friends who are tuning in for the first time to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we have an awesome show planned today. On our second segment, Al, you remember our friend Mr. Clifford Mitchum? He's an independent energy advisor. He will be calling in to speak a little bit about his company, Crew Southwest Florida. It's a solar company, and he's doing a lot with solar energy for pools and homes. And he was so wonderful this morning. He spoke to me briefly about more young people going into business.
Yes.
And so I said, that's a whole different show, like from today.
Yes.
On our first segment, you know how I'm always scoping people out to get folks on our show. And I've been very successful. I handpick a few people off of Instagram or TikTok or Facebook. And I saw this lovely lady, Miss Kendall Williams. She was behind a mic. She's a podcaster. And she's an author, a podcast host, a speaker. And I want to say an unapologetic guide behind mom's true tea. And you know, me being from Trinidad and Tobago, anything with tea,
right,
my ears perk right up. I'm like, what is this lady talking about? So I try to get a sponsor for her segment, and we thank Cloud9 Sleep Shop for sponsoring this segment for our airtime. As you know, Ellen.
Excellent.
We've got to pay Danny here on the station. It's not for free.
He's the man.
All these FM stations and AM, and we're heard in India, Indonesia. How many downloads did we have last week?
So we had just over 16,000 downloads last week. And we usually average anywhere from 18 to 22,000 downloads. So it's such a great feeling to know that we are getting heard and that
we're making a difference.
People support us. Yes, and absolutely. And the emails and the texts that come in are just so supportive and loving. So thanks.
Great. Well, I think Miss Kendall Williams is on the phone, and we're going to meet the lady behind Mom's True Tea. Kendall, thank you for taking the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Hi, Sita and Friends. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Well, you know what? I was on Instagram, I think, and I saw you talking about estrangement from, you know, children and all. And what a thought-provoking topic, because that happens a lot across the spectrum. You know, I work in long-term care, and I have to say that we had a lady who was on hospice, and I only saw one son come in to take care of her for the length of the time she was there. And then just before she passed, you know, the son said to me, you know, she also has two daughters. And I said, well, what on God's magnificent planet am I hearing? This lady's been here for a few years, and I haven't seen hide nor hair of a daughter. And he said, oh, they're estranged. Something happened when she was 40 with her two daughters, and they never spoke to their mom again. And so when I saw you on Instagram, that came to me, you know, and so I said, I'm going to have you in the show. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you started Mom's True Tea, where you sit down and speak the truth.
Again, thanks for having me. I really do appreciate the invite. I started Mom's True Tea as a podcast back in 2024 because I had experienced so many taboo things that are not being talked about with my younger son. And I think the issue is that a lot of moms stay in silence and they suffer in silence. And that's what I have been doing for many, many years, dealing with his verbal abuse, emotional abuse, and just decided that, you know what, I was going to get behind the microphone and start having conversations about what really happens with motherhood, how sometimes we get PTSD from the experiences of motherhood, how it impacts our mental well-being or our mental health. And then I discovered this epidemic of estrangement.
Yeah.
Now, estrangement is not new, but it's more publicized and it's more prevalent now simply because we have so many different channels that are promoting it as it relates to social media, whether it be TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. You know, it's not just an isolated thing. It's not isolated to one demographic. This is something that is happening worldwide.
Yeah, and you're not here to fix it. You're here to walk beside the moms that listen to your podcast and reaches out to you, and you want to teach them how to rebuild their life, their self-worth, yes, and say you are worthy of something. Because, you know, oftentimes we hear children would say, well, I didn't ask to be here. I didn't ask for you to bring me here. And I hate when people say that because, you know, when you're 18, 19, and you're passionate and in love and married to the wrong guy or the right guy, whatever, and, you know, you have these kids, you don't think that they're going to come with the mouth of the South to hurt your feelings, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that said quite often, Sita, when I didn't choose to be a content creator. So, you know, you discovered me as I dived, you know, dove a little bit deeper into becoming a content creator. I literally just wanted to sit behind the microphone, do my podcast faceless, right? I got pushed into creating more content. This is how you discovered me, because I had someone else running my page, but it wasn't coming across as authentic as I show up. And the number of children that come into the comments and say, well, we didn't ask to be born, or why do you do this if you didn't want children? And first of all, it's such a daft comment to say, especially when you're sitting here all alive and being able to say that as an individual that is actually here on this earth with a purpose. And it really makes me cringe every time I see some young person say, well, we didn't ask to be born, when quite frankly, biologically, when you think about it, you did fight hard to be born. And they can try to figure that part out on their own.
But, I heard in jest one day a mom said to a child, I think he was 13 years old, I brought you in and I could take you out. Yeah, right. Allie, you've heard that before,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes, right to my face, actually.
That was a comedian, right? Wasn't that like Cliff Huxtable?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But you know, it's exhausting to defend yourself against your own children. It's exhausting.
Absolutely.
It causes a lot of silent grief. It causes depression, a lot of guilt. And it's like you ask yourself, I mean, thank God some of us have faith. Because I know that I have had teenagers and I have faith, but I know people who are just emotionally, this turmoil that their constant state is because of these children that they choose to bring on this planet, they just don't know where to turn. So talk to us a little bit at what forms of therapy or meditation or what type of communication, what can we do to help these moms?
So first, moms need to acknowledge the truth. And the truth is, Sita, unfortunately, right now, some of our children, they don't care about us. They don't have any empathy for us. They are living in this world that lacks so much empathy. And unfortunately, we didn't raise most of our children this way, but that's who they have become. So I encourage moms, number one, to acknowledge that truth. As hard as it is, and it doesn't mean that you don't love your child or you don't care for your child. It just means you need to acknowledge that there's no way that the child that I loved unconditionally, that I supported no matter what, that I showed up for no matter what, that I sacrificed my own well-being, whether it be mentally, financially, or physically for this person, has grown up to become someone who doesn't care about me. So you have to acknowledge the truth. That's number one. Number two, moms have got to stop wrapping their entire identity up into motherhood. That's why I wrote the book, Reclaiming Your Identity. So moms and dads, because there are dads that are dealing with this too. It's not talked about as much, of course. But how do you navigate where you are no longer wrapping your soul identity up into motherhood? I asked a question to parents one day on my platform, who are you? And I was very specific, and I said, who are you? Who are you outside of being a mom, a grandmother, or some type of provider, or being in servitude to someone else? And the sad part about that, a lot of moms didn't know who they were.
Yeah. And
so
you know,
they need to reclaim their identity.
They
right. need to stop also seeking validation from their children.
Right. And I think all of this happens, this whole estrangement, the mother, the son, or the children being away from, choosing to be estranged from their parents. It always starts when you notice there is a communication breakdown. And it always starts when you start recognizing that something is wrong here with this person, whether they're influenced by others outside of the home. And they become, you know, it's a lot of emotional manipulation,
definitely
gaslighting, a lot of bad behaviors. And I mean, it's hard, but you're right. We have to acknowledge it. But then how do you move forward? Because the abuse, there's past abuses occurring, and there's abuses happening right then. How does mm-hmm. one move past that when you know, when you're noticing that?
You have to take the steps yourself. You know, a lot of moms sometimes, unfortunately, they want to sit in this victimhood. Mothers are talking about killing themselves because they don't have proximity to their children. And it goes back to they need to stop wrapping their entire identity and their soul being up into just motherhood. You are someone else outside of being someone's mom. And also you need to seek some therapy. You need to seek support. You also need to stop suffering in silence because, like I said earlier, a lot of moms are not speaking up. Me creating this platform, it allowed women to say, oh, wow, I thought I was alone in this. And here it is. I have a following of over 200 plus thousand women, again, all around the world, that are now seeing that I am not alone on this journey. And I think that is very helpful to women as well. You have to get out. You have to stop ruminating on the what happened, trying to get answers that you may never get answers because there are no answers in some cases. And I have to acknowledge that there are some valid reasons as to why these children have decided to become estranged from their parents. However, that parent is going to have to acknowledge that, and they're going to have to figure out ways on to cope. And so they can figure out how to move forward as well.
You know, and so powerful. And I was looking through your website and heard one of the podcasts that we've, do you want to talk about matricide a little bit?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I mean, we've got so much violence going on in the world. And I just, I never even knew there was a name for this.
Yes. You know why you didn't know there was a name for it? Because it's not talked about often. Even when I've done my research to have a conversation around matricide, there was so much difficulty finding data around it, and it always looped back to children. But children are killing their parents, and they are either killing their parents or they are attempting to kill their parents. Example, a young woman, I think she was 16 years old, she killed both of her parents, went to their funeral, read this well-thought-out and crafted eulogy, and she has been identified as the person that killed her parents. I can speak on a personal experience as it relates to a family friend of mine. She became a prisoner in her own home in Florida, in Central Florida. Her son stabbed her to death as she was fixing coffee to get ready to head out to work. She had reached out to the police. She reached out for support. There were absolutely no resources, no support, and no laws in place. And there's so many stories that people are not even aware of, and there is no name to it because no one is talking about it.
Well, you know, Kendall, another thing is people are ashamed. A lot of families, they prefer to live in shame and sweep it under the rug because it's my child. But, you know, we're noticing that falls under exploitation of the elderly and elder abuse here in Florida in a lot of in a lot of the agencies and stuff. But, you know, I want to bring attention to something. One of the reasons why there are so many conflicts in families today, a lot of it is career choices, interfaith or same-sex relationships, different parenting styles. You have a lot of families who the children are now establishing boundaries with the parents if they want to be with a certain person. And it's like all these outside vices coming right into the family. And a lot of families, especially families who were raised in faith, they're having a difficult time with their children coming to them and saying, hey, I like a person of the same sex, or, you know, there's certain preferences, and it's really causing
a different religion or a different color.
It's
or
causing,
a
yeah,
it
a lot of disrespect
like it,
in a lot of families. And it's causing a lot of estrangement. So, you know, I think that's something to look at too, when this is going on in the family. Would you say that's something you come across as well?
So I think people have the right to choose whoever they want to be with. That's number one, mm-hmm. Contrary to anybody's faith or religion. Because just like there's emotional manipulation, there's also religious manipulation. But I don't agree that someone has to come and be disrespectful because of their choices. I don't believe, but yes, I do see, it's not, no one's told me that specifically, but what I'm seeing a lot, it's around politics. I try not to discuss that because whoever chooses, it's your choice. I don't think people stop talking to their parents because of political choices so much. I think there's just, they see their parent differently depending on whatever their political
choices are. Yeah, I know. I remember during the elections, we had a really good friend, a physician, that wrote on Facebook that she had stopped mm-hmm. talking to her aunt and her mom. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why? No mm-hmm. politician in the world, no president, no leadership person would get involved in my life to a point where I stopped talking to my children.
Well, I used to say all the time, idolizing a politician is like idolizing a stripper, you know?
Yeah.
Just doesn't make any sense at all to me.
It doesn't. No. And I think I like what you do on your show because you are helping so many people to understand why this happens as well. And and the thing is, because of shame and stigma, a lot of people wouldn't come to you and say, listen, I feel isolated. I feel like I lost mm-hmm. my family support system. I feel like this strained relationship that I'm having with my extended families is hurting me. Because a lot of people have false pride, a false sense of pride. Like, hey, everybody's having a good time at Christmas and Thanksgiving, and you're sitting by yourself because of what? You want to just be estranged from the family because you don't believe in something, you know?
Right.
I think Ali has a quick question for you.
How do you then reclaim your own identity to be able to hold on to, you know, your what you feel strongly about and then still work with the family you have?
Feel strongly about whatever it is, whether it's your political belief, your religious beliefs, or whatever, but I think there's a respect and there's still an honor that needs to be held, right?
I agree.
That's my whole thing. If you are disagreeing with their child, your child is disagreeing with you because of politics, sexual preference, the color of the person that they're with, as a parent, you're there to support your child. And if you know this is the direction that they're going as it relates to that, and vice versa, right? So, but I think there's conversations to be had. I don't think cutting off parents, I don't think cutting off children is the answer unless there's some type of verbal, emotional, and financial abuse that is happening, because we do know that happens on both sides. So I think there's either a conversation that needs to have, but if it is a very toxic environment, you do have to remove yourself from that. But I think as parents, you have an opportunity. Like my older son identifies with the LGBTQIA community. I did not understand it. I didn't agree with it because of what I was taught from a religious perspective. But that's my son, and he's amazing. He's loving. He's caring. So who am I to tell him who he can or cannot date? And I would never cut off my son or make him feel bad for his choices.
Yeah. Well, what I'm hearing is you met him halfway. You compromise, right? Because you want to maintain a healthy relationship with him.
No, I didn't compromise. I told him how I felt and how it was for me. And then I shifted based on realizing and remembering that that's my son. He is my son. That's not his sole identity as being relative to that community.
Yeah,
he's
loving him
so much more than that.
Right.
And I think if a parent is dealing with that, they have to be able to understand that it's so much. And I think people die on the hill about certain religious beliefs also, but they have no issue with other things that impact other people.
Well,
you can't pick and choose what you choose to be super religious about and turn your back on family or whatever.
Well, you know, we're all deeply rooted in culture and in faith. I mean, I'm Hindu, and I do know that, you know, there were always subtle things that my parents would say at the table when you're growing up. In other words, they would say, well, you got to marry somebody that likes curry. Or, you have to marry somebody that's going to eat with their hands. Or you got to marry somebody that knows what a puja is, which is a prayer. And so you grow up with this, and then you come into this big bad world now of 2025, and you have people who are different in their choices in life, in their professions, whatever. And in my case, our family had had to compromise with our nieces and nephews who are gay, or different preferences. And what we did, we found, was you have to find that love. You have to find that, why did you love this person when they were a baby? And you're going to love them right through now. And it doesn't matter what they do behind closed doors. But I think what I'm hearing from you is you have to find coping mechanisms as well, right? In order to cope with what's going on with the estrangement.
Yeah, I think parents need to definitely find ways to cope, meaning you need to find something. Again, it goes back to reclaiming your identity. You need to find something that you enjoy. You need to figure that out. And I think the problem is because moms have sacrificed so much of their lives, they don't know what that is anymore.
Right. And it's a lot of self-reflection and patience. I would say the one thing being a mother is you have to have patience, Ellen. If you don't have patience, you're doomed.
Well, and here's a different perspective. I come from a large family. I'm the youngest of all of my siblings. But I also have an enormous amount of teacher friends that are out there. And I am, we just started school back, of course. And I'm listening to the stories of these teachers of witnessing the moms and dads picking up their children at school and the children being disrespectful at early ages of like 5 and 6 years old. And the parents like kind of coddling or laughing it off or kind of like not acknowledging it. And of course, the teachers, as the children get a little bit older, the teachers are experiencing it in class and having disruptive children in class. So it's not like these signs are not, it doesn't seem to me like these signs are like, oh, now they're a teenager and now all of a sudden. It seems like from my perspective, again, not having children, my perspective is seeing this behavior starting at a very young age where parents kind of say, oh yeah, they're biting, no big deal, or acting out, no big deal, and then they don't realize what is manifesting itself as the person gets bigger and older and more decisive and more.
Well, you know, our sheriff said it best. Our sheriff, when he was on our show, he said, be the top cop in your own home. And that, I think, resonates. You have to be the top cop in your home. Because when the kids are talking back, when they're being rude, when they're not communicating properly, they take that to school. And then the poor teachers have to put up with all that.
So what say you, Miss Williams?
Go ahead, Miss Williams. Go ahead. Tell us your take on that.
So she raised a great point, and it's ironic that I just did a post on that last week, how teachers are starting to quit because of the level of disrespect that they are experiencing from children. And let me tell you where that's coming from. The new parents that are beyond the boomer, Gen X generation, millennials and Gen Zs are teaching their children they don't have to respect anyone because respect is earned, not given. Do you remember our parents telling us anything like that?
Never.
It was, you came into the company or presence of an adult, it was automatic. It didn't need to be taught.
In Trinidad, they tell you this is big people talk.
Yeah.
In Trinidad, they tell you this is big people talk. Go upstairs.
Right.
You know, but nowadays, everybody wants to be involved in everybody's business, and the kids don't know their place.
Well, that you just touched on a lot of what I was about to say. So again, because of the new teachings that are coming from these newer adults, that are after our generations, this is what they're teaching their children. You don't have to be respectful. If you speak up, it's called advocating for yourself or being able to speak for yourself. They don't teach them discipline. So yes, the teachers are dealing with it, and it's unfortunate, and it's unfair to them. And I literally just said this the other day in a clip, that teachers should be paid a whole hell of a lot more money for dealing with this behavior. And then the thing is, they create these monsters, but they don't want to keep them at home. They want to send them out into society, and they want to send them out to school for others to have to deal with them.
Yeah, and teachers so are not babysitters. I mean, you know, but here's the thing, right? Boundaries. Let's talk about the word boundaries, because as we're coming to the end of the segment, I know we want to talk a little bit about empowerment and community, which would include seeking professional help, being patient and supportive, and educating ourselves about our mental health and how to set that boundary. What would you say, my dear Kendall, about how does a parent set that boundary? How does the child set that boundary? Because oftentimes that boundary could lead to the estrangement that we don't want.
Well, I think the adult children are confusing setting boundaries with estrangement or cutting people off. It's very easy for them to dispose of people because this is what they do in their day-to-day relationships, right? This is why they reach out to parents and people and say whatever they want to say, and then they block you because they don't want to hear a response. Setting boundaries is for your protection, absolutely, but I think they've misconstrued what that looks like. When it comes to a parent setting boundaries, I think parents need to set boundaries to no longer tolerate disrespect. A lot of parents are walking on eggshells because they don't want to lose proximity to a child, or their child hasn't gone no contact but low contact, meaning they're almost there. They haven't completely pulled the trigger on being no contact. So they'll tolerate disrespect from those children. So parents need to stop tolerating disrespect. They need to choose. Sometimes you need to choose distance over disrespect. And sometimes you need to protect your peace over proximity. But a lot of parents are not ready to do that. So they are willing to tolerate that. You got grandchildren. They would tolerate disrespect from every single person just to have proximity to those people. And if they don't start to set boundaries and become more empowered, and not empowered from a perspective of controlling anyone, but controlling their own emotions, they're going to forever be abused by their estranged child or the child that is abusing them.
Yeah, I guess that's what you call...
Let me finish. Yeah, just let me finish real quick. On the side of children setting boundaries, it's okay for them to set boundaries too, but boundaries doesn't mean you have to cut off your parents.
Yeah,
that's not what that means. That means you can set boundaries. If you have a parent that's always interfering, trying to control your relationships, trying to control your life, feeling like they're entitled to your children, absolutely set those boundaries. But boundaries does not mean cutting someone off all the time.
Yeah, I think what we're hearing is that sometimes, you know, parents and grandparents, because we want to be close to our grandchildren, we allow them to walk all over us.
Yes.
And we need to stop. Well, I think our second caller is calling in. But Kendall, oh my goodness, for our listeners who just tuned in, Kendall Gordon Williams is the founder of Mom's True Tea. And it's she's a podcaster, an author, and her book is called Reclaiming Your Identity, A Mom's Guide to Empowerment, Boundaries, and Peace.
And we will be watching for this empowerment retreat that you have coming up in 2026. We'll make sure we post all of that on our page because it is so important for moms to understand all of that. Once again, it's Mums True Tea, MUMSTRUETEA.com. And you'll get all of the great information as well as a link to Kendall's podcast and all of these other great things. We're going to take a quick break and listen to our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages. Thank you, Kendall.
Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Johncall
Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. What a great first segment we had. Our second segment is with a dad, a business owner, our good friend, Mr. Clifford Mitchum. He is an independent energy advisor, has his own business, and we're going to talk to him a little bit about solar energy. Ellen, on Mondays, we sit here and we chat on WWBC AM 1510, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and we're heard worldwide everywhere.
That's right. If you go to WWBC, that 1510WWBC.com, you can hit the Listen Live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. And then, of course, on our website as well and all of our social media. Cliff, if you could turn down your radio or whatever that background noise is, we'll get a clearer copy of you.
All right.
Sounds like your heart is beating.
Yeah. It's really loud.
We're going to have to send you a cardiologist out there. This is why our show is fun and interesting and quite educational. And we do give out very, very valuable information for 15 years. On Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. So, Mr. Clifford, tell our listeners a little bit about you. Bring us up to speed. You've branched out and doing other things besides solar at this point?
Absolutely. Yes, thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate you all sharing your viewers and followers with me. And I'm a solar entrepreneur. I've been in the solar business since 2017. And after Hurricane Ian, it forced a lot of changes in this, particularly in this region, because Ian beat up the neighborhood so bad that everybody's roof was messed up. And I had a lot of my clients that needed help, you know, repairing drywall from a flood or fixing their ceiling or other things around their house, just basic home services. So since then, I actually expanded from doing just solar to including home services. So somebody has electrical issues, they want to put in a ceiling fan, they have drywall, things around the house. We help with that along with taking care of their solar needs and then making sure they run on sunshine.
Man, you have such a sunny outlook on life. And the truth is, it's in your voice. We can hear you're helping people with environmental issues, business development, energy, it just independent energy. And on top of that, when I spoke to you this morning, you spoke a little bit about the older people, the more experienced people, mentoring the young people to go into business, to take a leap of faith, to go to the banker and talk about your business plan, get that small business loan, and do something with your life. We need you in Washington, D.C. We really do.
Hey, it's something that we can actually institute all over the country.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with having a job. It's just a matter of the job is not supposed to be our life. We shouldn't have to work 9 to 5. We should only do that just to build capital and then take the skills that we've learned and developed and start our own business from there. And then we could actually truly support our families. I feel that was actually the key difference between life in the 70s and life today.
Yeah. So how is solar doing in the state of Florida right now? Because we're noticing that the market is kind of flat and there's so many incentives right here in the state of Florida for people to go solar. But a lot of the homeowners, they're still very skeptical. So bring us up to speed. What's going on with solar energy?
Well, the solar market itself has been pretty flat, like you've mentioned. And that's largely because the national recognition across the country hasn't been as intense. So people have kind of just moved away from it. But it still makes sense, particularly from a financial standpoint. We have electricity companies that are raising their rates left, right, and center. In fact, FPL is actually going for its highest rate increase ever of $10 billion. So people looking into solar is really what can alleviate a lot of that pressure. But overall, the financial incentives alone from the savings and the avoided costs are what are the biggest benefit for the average homeowner. And about 80% of households have a viable roof and sun exposure to utilize solar. It's just a matter of looking at the numbers.
Yeah. Well, I noticed you've become a bit, you've adopted a lot of solar orphans. I mean, these are people that trusted a solar company to come in and help them with getting their solars on their roofs and whatnot. And now it's like they're gone and you are left with these solar orphans. Talk to us a little bit about that, because so many companies have left the state of Florida.
Right. And this actually goes to the business acumen that I mentioned before. It's a big endeavor to venture out into business, and it's a sad reality that many businesses fail within their first 5 years. So it's highly encouraged as people branch out on their own, get with a networking group, a mentor, a business coach, someone that can help along the way. Because we have a lot of solar businesses that thought they could handle it, and they've helped many people go solar. However, their business acumen needed some work, and they've left a lot of people in the lurch. That's because they weren't able to maintain their business. So now if somebody does have a question or an issue or anything they want to change about their solar, their original installer isn't available. So that's really where Crewish actually focused our business model onto, is addressing these people that have become solar orphans. Because the manufacturer provides a 20 to 25 year warranty for the equipment, but there's still a need for somebody to actually install it and maintain that equipment, even though it is low maintenance. But it's somebody that needs to be there to take care of that and address those people that have become orphans because their original installer went out of business. So that's largely what we've actually grown to help and address as far as the market goes.
And I bet those people are grateful that you are there, because I tell you what, we had an elevator put in our home, and it's kind of like a tube, like the Jetsons, you know, it's nice. We could use it to go upstairs when we get older and age in place and whatever. But lo and behold, that company that put that elevator in, they went out of business. And now we are like an elevator orphan, but we found someone that would, you know, service it and take care of it. But that, for a homeowner, that's heart-wrenching, that you trust a company to come out there and alter your home, and next thing you know, you can't call them for a service. So thank God you're offering that.
Well, and then the other part of it is, too, is if you decide that you want to sell your home, what education do you give the person or the real estate agent or the person that is going to be inspecting the home about the solar panels or about your elevator or about those types of things? So,
exactly. And that's one of the key things that we really stepped in to help address. I don't want somebody that's a new homeowner to have a bad taste in their mouth because the other solar installer caused some sort of issue because they didn't have quite the business acumen. Highly recommend getting coaching and guidance. And that's the key thing that I really help with homeowners accomplishing, is getting that guidance along the way. So even if they do have an installer, but their installer doesn't quite know their head from a hole in the wall, we can still provide the education and make sure that it's a great experience to have solar, because I've had solar on my house. I've had one increase, and that's only because the base electricity rate increased. Other than that, I save month after month, year over year, and I think everyone else can share in the power of that independence.
Yeah. My son just purchased a home just outside of Los Angeles, California, and he is definitely thinking about solar. And he showed me, he broke it down to show me, you know, how much he would be saving and everything. But I'm proud of him, because he is environmentally conscious, as well as my intended daughter-in-law there. But so talk to us about the tax credit here in the state of Florida. Are they still talking about giving the tax credit, and who benefits from it?
Well, the tax credit is still in place, and that's a 30% tax savings that somebody gets when they install their solar. However, the current administration is more focused on traditional energy fossil fuel sources, so they're not really looking to extend that or broaden it. So the best time to get it is yesterday. So I highly encourage everybody to take advantage of it now while it still is available, because from an administration standpoint, we don't see much incentive that's going to be provided into the future. But solar itself can still stand alone without that. It's just great to get the bonus of having that savings from your taxes to utilize. So So yeah. Highly encourage everybody to get it as soon as possible.
Well, so when my brother got solar in New Jersey, and it's probably been 30 years, he was probably one of the pioneers. He was actually selling power back to, so instead of getting charged for power, he was actually receiving money for the power they were selling back. Is that still a thing?
That is still a thing. That system is referred to as net metering. And particularly in Florida, that's the standard operation of the solar. The solar runs your meter backwards, and then at night, your meter runs forward. Now, generally in the fall, the winter, and part of the spring, your meter is going to run backwards more than it runs forwards. And those extra hours that it runs backwards get stored up in what's referred to as the bank. So this way, once summer does kick in, you're utilizing the stored electricity from the bank. And it's a virtual battery bank, not a physical battery bank, because the standard installation does not have batteries included. That would be an addition. However, the utility company keeps track of that extra storage. That way you use it in the summer, and it makes sure your electricity bill isn't going to be a huge spike.
Yeah.
Now, as long as you maintain the same energy profile, you should balance out and get 100% of your electricity covered. However, if it's not, even going for 50 to 70% of your electricity covered, it can still provide a great resource and save tremendously over not having solar at all.
Right. And Clifford, we all know that solar power, it has emerged as one of the fastest growing sources of energy. We're watching it, people using it in China for farms. And, you know, there's so much growth in that industry. How does it feel that you, Mr. Clifford Mitchell, have become one of the rising stars, a shining star for us in the aerospace industry? Your knowledge and the way you communicate, I was watching your video on YouTube about the pool installation, and you broke it down to where any lay person could understand the tubes, the valves, the solar energy, the sun, why this is important. I mean, how does it feel that so many people are trusting you, Mr. Clifford, with their solar? And you're so enthusiastic about it that it makes us enthusiastic as well.
Well, that's how I earned the name Mr. Sunshine.
Yeah. At all meanings of the word.
My experience with aerospace really helped me hone in the ability to take something that's relatively complicated and break it down to simple parts and make it very understandable. And it's just a matter of we're in the sunshine state. It's great that I've been a conduit to help people connect to the most abundant resource we have, and particularly have this much longevity, because a lot of businesses don't make it through that. And I don't say that to scare people, but I say it to make sure that people are prepared. The only reason I'm able to have made it this long and done so well in the solar industry is because I reach out to people that are already in business and already have experience in solar to teach me along the way. And I implement what they teach me. Too many people are young and passionate, just like me. But getting that passion focused and honed in is the secret to having long-term success. Being able to transfer the enthusiasm from myself to homeowners, that way they can utilize the savings and they can utilize, you know, free energy in that sense.
Right. And the future of solar energy is bright. And it's full of potential. We're watching countries like India and China. They're making substantial investments in solar technologies with innovative solutions for solar panels, and using light and capturing it from both sides. But here in the United States, like you said earlier, we have a lot of people that were elected into office that does not believe in science or solar energy. How do we help those people to see that by investing in solar energy, we're actually saving our planet?
Well, I would put it this way. There's a lot of people in Washington, D.C. that have trouble with savings. So if we could actually just show them how we could save on our energy, we could save on our monthly expenses by putting solar on our homes, it could go a long way to help them see what the benefits of saving can do. Now, once we have a groundswell of people that are actually utilizing this and in a defensive standpoint, it makes complete sense, because a home that actually can produce its own power is a self-sustaining home, so it's not going to be a burden to the energy grid as we get a higher demand for power. Because the biggest thing is, as we see more AI development, the data centers are going to utilize that energy more than what the average homeowner is. And it makes a better financial and electrical grid defense if the homeowners can produce their power on site without having to have to worry about any draw from other demands on the energy system. So we can lead the way by showing the politicians that residential solar is what needs to be encouraged and allowed, and that way homeowners can actually utilize the direct savings without having to add a middleman to it.
Yeah, and I notice
that's
here.
The way I would explain
and I notice here in the state of Florida, the panels have gotten very decorative. And it used to be you drive by a house and you see a whole bunch of panels and you're like, ah, that doesn't look so good. But you guys have gotten creative, especially like on the tile roofs and stuff. Talk to us a little bit about how we could expand solar more in Florida using all the decorative designs that you all are using now.
Yes, that's what's referred to as BIPV, Building Integrated Photovoltaics. A lot of people are choosing the option to integrate the solar panels just like they would shingles in their home, or if they went with a metal style roof, how you can incorporate flat panels into the ridges in between the ridges. So this way you can use the existing space more effectively rather than having added materials on top of it. Even if somebody went with conventional solar panels, there are particular skins. Just like people get the perforated skins for their windows, the vinyls, we can get those for solar panels and actually blend in better or put out a message that they'd like to have for their home. So there's plenty of different innovative ways to utilize solar and make it less visible. So it is an easier way to improve the aesthetic while saving on their energy demand and improving their environmental footprint.
Yeah.
So I highly encourage people to investigate them and see what the options are for their home, because that's the key thing, is ensuring that it's a viable option for that particular homeowner.
Yeah.
Well, and I encourage you for all of our listeners to go out to LinkedIn to look at Clifford Mitchum's page.
Yeah.
The name of the company is CREW, CREW, Clean Renewable Energy Worldwide. And I love the quote that you put at the bottom. There are no passengers on Spaceship Earth. We are all crew.
Yeah,
we're all in this together.
It's so true. And you know what people don't understand is that the history of solar can be traced back to the 19th century. And you know, I was born in the Caribbean, in Trinidad and Tobago. And I'll tell you what, our rain barrels in the summertime, they got pretty hot. You didn't even have to worry about making tea from a stove. The water was that hot. I mean, it's the nature has given us solar. And it's up to us to harness that energy and turn it into something great. So, Mr. Clifford Mitchum, talk to us a little bit about, you know, we all know that climate emergency is a big topic today. How much can solar help with that situation? We're watching earth, wind, and fire. All of us are watching what's happening with the wildfires, the rain, you know, the heat. People are complaining about the electricity bill in the summer and all that. So, solar helps with all of that. So tell our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about how solar helps the environment.
Solar is tremendous as what it can provide for a savings. After the air conditioner, the hot water heater is actually the number one energy user in the house. If somebody utilizes solar energy to actually heat their water, they can likely cut their energy demand by about 30%. So when you use passive solar, like you were saying with the rain barrels, to preheat your water and then send that water into your hot water heater, it can go a long way to providing a tremendous saving. And then the number one energy user in the house is the air conditioner. So when somebody's utilizing solar panels to produce their energy, that's a lot less fossil fuels that are utilized to produce the energy for that. So right there, you can cut 30 to 60% of the energy demand for the home just by utilizing solar energy. And with the options that are out there with radiant heating, like is what's used with the rain barrels, or when somebody has hot water tubes that go in through a patio deck, a concrete patio deck, that's a great way that people can utilize passive solar energy. And then using the active solar energy through solar panels, that's a tremendous way to cut their basic electricity demand. So this way, you're not going to have those needs for the energy wires, the electricity wires, to be run to the house, because that house can be stood alone on its own once you add in a battery bank. And the battery banks themselves have become tremendously affordable. EcoFlow is probably the hottest one I've looked at right now. Their batteries are compact, they're affordable, and they're energy dense. So that way you can actually move them from place to place, and they're not stuck just in the home. So it adds a lot more versatility. So in the event that there is something like a wildfire or hurricane or some other natural disaster, people can move with their energy source to wherever they're holed up at, and they can wait out till there's a cleaning crew or repairs have been restored. So the flexibility it provides for people is just tremendous.
Yeah, and it's clean. It's,
on that, we can get the energy.
Right, and it's clean energy, and it's renewable energy. And I think we all saw in California, there was that one house that the people had that what you're talking about around the pool and the home, and the home stood was standing after so many homes were burnt to the ground. And they claimed that house was standing because of the solar energy that the people had harnessed into those whatever they used around that home.
Well, it's all about proper prior planning. And I always remember to Gunnery Sergeant Merkel, proper prior planning prevents potential problems. Six P's.
Yeah. Well, before we let you go, we have a couple of 1 or 2 minutes. Give us your website. And like Ellen said, tell us again what CRU stands for, because, boy, you couldn't have got a better name for your company.
Well, my website is CRU Services, SWFL. And you can see from solar to the other home services that we provide with my coalition of partners that help ensure that you can take care of all of your residential and home service needs. You can also find me on Facebook under MSTR Sunshine. So that's Mr. Sunshine. And then you can also find me at SWFL Solar on Instagram for Southwest Florida Solar, and as well on TikTok. So wherever you're at online, you can go ahead and find me.
And really quick, which region of the country has the highest solar panels? Do we know?
You know what? I haven't seen the most recent data, but I know that California has been huge for adopting solar. Texas has been a big user of solar as well. And Florida is probably one of the top places that has the potential and can really be utilized to delve into it more.
Yeah.
Basically, the further south you go, the better you're going to do.
Yeah.
Well, and really quick, we have like 30 seconds left. One of our questions somebody asked me was, are there any hurdles to solar in Florida?
Really, the only hurdle is the permitting. Getting it through the permitting office can take 4 to 6 weeks as long as they don't have an overwhelming flow. But that's the key thing to be patient with and to work with your installer on, because it's bureaucracy, and bureaucracy doesn't move fast.
And the dreaded HOAs. Oh, my yeah. God. Those are worse than dealing with a governmental agencies, honestly.
They can be, but HOAs can't stop solar. They might attempt to add a hurdle, but legally – somebody cannot be stopped by their HOA.
Well, I tell you, Mr. Clifford Mitchum, watching your videos and the way you're passionate about solar energy, this clean, renewable energy, it makes everybody wants to go solar. And I think you are a good, you have a potential to be in government, because when you talk, people listen. I'm watching people in the libraries listen to you at the Small Businesses Association, and I'm like, does he know the potential of how well he's communicating with so many people? I just want to commend you for that.
Well, why, thank you. I do want to be the best use for everyone available. So politics might be in the future, but really, I don't want to have to get dirty about it. So if we could just all stay clean and utilize it, I won't have to go into that fray. But well, I'm willing.
Well, an entire show of spreading sunshine.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And he's a great dad, too, by the way.
I
awesome dad.
You
That's another show.
You
we'll do another
your
show
energy.
About that.
Absolutely. Well, Clifford Mitchum, thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of our show today. Kendall Williams, thank you so much for calling in as well and sharing mumsfortea.com. We'll make sure we put all of this great information on our website, which is cedamediainc.com. You'll also get a download of the show, a few of the pictures that we have from today, and then Make sure you tune in next week, Monday, each and every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 1510 WWBC.